We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
John, there was a lot of criticism about the process at the end of the legislative session. It was a particularly bumpy ride in the House of Representatives, as we know. So do advocates of good government like yourself plan to make a push for any kind of reforms meant to improve the legislative process?
Yeah, you know, for the first time in my tenure this year, we tried to get some changes made to the House rules in particular, also the Senate rules, but we focused on the House rules because they have that budget power. And it was our first attempt at it, and it wasn't successful, obviously, this year, but it taught me a valuable lesson, which is this is where the Grand Coalition exists. 2 years ago, you know, the people on the left in labor had their ox gored over the cuts to the developmentally disabled. This year, it was people on the right with the Sakonnet Bridge tolls. And so everybody is treated poorly by a poor process at the end of the session. And so what we need to do and what I intend to do is try to bring all sides to this fight, because I think it's really, like I said, this is the opportunity to form the true Grand Coalition.
And what specifically are the changes to the legislative rules that you see as being necessary?
In the past, what we've asked for is that significant amendments to bills be public for 48 hours. And we also ask for some more time for the budget to sit in the House Finance Committee before it comes out so that groups and individuals and even legislators can weigh in before they have to vote on it. But we'll be looking at other possibilities. There are some constitutional changes that you've mentioned, that we've talked about, harder deadlines during the legislative session. One of them that's adopted in numerous states is a crossover date. Bill doesn't come out of one of the chambers. It's dead somewhere in the middle of the legislative session, those sorts of things.
Let's go to Scott.
And yet, as bad as things are in the Rhode Island General Assembly, it seems like it's less dysfunctional than Congress. And my point here is not to compare it, but to say that the legislative process is always very messy. And you're fighting hundreds of years of Rhode Island history where at the end, the legislature resembles, you know, the mall on Christmas Eve or the post office on April 15th. It seems like a procrastination and the ability to kill or move bills in the middle of the night when nobody's looking is part of the process.
Yeah, and, you know, it's true. Connecticut had shenanigans in the middle of the night this year on their budget. What we see is being forced through in North Carolina, this draconian voting rights bill or killing voting rights in North Carolina that's being shoved through at the end, what we saw in Texas with the Wendy Davis filibuster. Yeah, we're not alone in this, and you're never going to perfect this. But you can, you know, don't let the perfect get in the way of the good. And I think there are some changes we can make that can at least marginally improve the process.
You've been the head of Common Cause here for a few years now, John. So what are your thoughts on how advocates of good government can be more effective in pushing for changes?
You know, that's a really good question. One of the interesting things is Rhode Island is so small that there are actually few advocates for good government, just like there are a few advocates for a lot of different things in Rhode Island. So, you know, my counterparts in California are just one of many voices. And what I'm trying to do is build bridges with the volunteer groups, the Operation Clean Governments, the League of Women Voters, who are a huge voice in most other states. The League of Women Voters is a huge voice in Massachusetts, a huge voice in California, Minnesota, states like that, and has been a little quieter here. And so I think we have to mobilize more people in Common Cause, but also in other groups that are civic-minded.
In other words, you've got to build coalitions, which traditionally is what happens in politics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wondering about judicial selection, you were very critical of the governor this year, and I know why he did it when he basically busted the deadlines for putting judges in. The Bar Association joined you in this, and it seems like we know why he did it. He had a big legislative issue that he wanted, the gay marriage, initiative, and it looked like he just put these judicial nominations in his pocket. And I'm wondering, is there a way to get those deadlines more effectively kept to by both the governor and the legislators?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because it's a really difficult problem. I'm not sure of what the legislative answer is. I know in some states If a governor doesn't pick in a timely fashion, they throw it to another official. The lieutenant governor gets the pick, that sort of thing.
We're talking here with John Marion, the head of Common Cause of Rhode Island, and it was 8 years ago in 2005 when your organization supported an effort to try and bring more of a level playing field to campaign finance in Rhode Island with a so-called clean elections proposal. That hasn't gone anywhere, mostly because the General Assembly would have to approve it. Where does that stand, and what do you see as being the frontier of campaign finance in Rhode Island right now?
Yeah, so we haven't put the bill in for the last two sessions because there were a series of federal court cases all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, but also some district court cases that chipped away at that in other states, because it does exist in Connecticut, Arizona, and Maine. And there were some restrictions placed on their systems because of lawsuits, and our bill was outdated. It's a very sophisticated area of the law, and very difficult. We intend to come back with the bill eventually, but we need to refresh it. Public financing is extremely tricky, and it looks like because of that, the model is changing away from a strict, you qualify for the ballot, you get a big check, to a matching system like New York City Council has.
I understand that Citizens United has put a real crimp on campaign disclosure and transparency. But shouldn't Engage Rhode Island, regardless of how you feel about the pension overhaul that was done in 2011, here's a group that spent hundreds of thousands of dollars lobbying and with television ads, and yet we really don't know where this money comes from. We know that some of it, because of the Wall Street Journal broke a story, comes from a huge hedge fund guy in Texas, but shouldn't they disclose who's lobbying the State House on their behalf?
Yeah, absolutely. But the last word, one of your last words about lobbying, there's a distinction in the law between lobbying and electioneering. And we've worked a lot on trying to force them to disclose the minute they get involved in elections. Looks like we didn't do a perfect job when we passed a law on that last year, because they did get involved in some races last year and they didn't disclose. So either they violated, or it wasn't enforced, or the law wasn't sufficient to get them. But we think any group, once you cross that threshold into getting involved in election, really need to disclose who's the money behind it.
Rhode Island voters are asked every 10 years whether the state should hold a constitutional convention, and the next time they'll be asked is in 2014. What is your perspective on the significance of a constitutional convention, and does Common Cause believe that the state should have one?
I'll take your second question first. We haven't come to a decision yet. I have a board of about 22 people, and it's their decision to make, and then I follow their policy agenda. And in 94, in 2004, we opposed it, and we're currently debating it. We've had guest speakers at our board meeting. It's been going on for almost 6 months now. I'm sure it'll take a few more months for us to debate and come up with a position. There's a double-edged sword in the Constitutional Convention. It could be a great thing that can fundamentally change our system, create an ethics commission, but it can also be very dangerous.
Yeah, sometimes it's just mischief. I remember back in the 1980s when all that really came out of there was this big anti-abortion thing, which would have been against the Supreme Court's decision, and it went to a statewide referendum, and it got beat.
Yeah, and that's why I think you're going to see a lot of groups on the left and the right weigh in on this issue, a lot of them against.
John, just quickly, with time running out here, what are Common Cause's top priorities going forward?
So we continue to want to restore the jurisdiction of the Ethics Commission over the General Assembly. You know, the General Assembly is the strongest branch of government in our system in the state, and they're almost completely exempt from ethical oversight. And we really strongly believe that's the best thing we can do to help make state government better.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And John Marion, the head of Common Cause of Rhode Island.
Thanks so much.